Chapter 2. God's Purpose in Our Publishing Houses. Solemn is the responsibility that rests upon our houses of publication. Those who conduct these institutions, those who edit the periodicals and prepare the books, standing as they do in the light of God's purpose and called to give warning to the world, are held by God accountable for the souls of their fellow men. To them, as well as to the ministers of the word, applies the message given by God to his prophet of old: Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel 33, verse 7, 8. In all our work, even in mechanical lines, God desires that the perfection of his character shall appear. The exactness, skill, tact, wisdom, and perfection which he required in the building of the earthly tabernacle, he desires to have brought into everything that shall be done in his service. Every transaction entered into by his servants is to be as pure and precious in his sight as were the gold and frankincense and myrrh, which is sincere, uncorrupted faith the wise men from the East brought to the infant Savior. Thus, in their business life, Christ's followers are to be light bearers to the world. God does not ask them to make an effort to shine. He approves of no self-satisfied attempt to display superior goodness. He desires that their souls shall be imbued with the principles of heaven, and then, as they come in contact with the world, they will reveal the light that is in them. Their honesty, uprightness, and steadfast fidelity in every act of life will be a means of illumination. The kingdom of God comes not with outward show. It comes through the gentleness of the inspiration of his word, through the inward working of his spirit, the fellowship of the soul with him who is its life. The greatest manifestation of its power is seen in human nature brought to the perfection of the character of Christ. An appearance of wealth or position, expensive architecture or furnishings, are not essential to the advancement of the work of God. Neither are achievements that win applause from men and administer to vanity. Worldly display, however imposing, is of no value with God. While it is our duty to seek for perfection in outward things, it should be ever kept in mind that this aim is not to be made supreme. It must be held subordinate to higher interests. Above the seen and transitory, God values the unseen and eternal. The former is of worth only as it expresses the latter. The choicest productions of art possess no beauty that can compare with the beauty of character, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit's working in the soul. When God gave his Son to the world, he endowed human beings with imperishable riches, riches compared with which the treasured wealth of man since the world began is nothingness. Christ came to the earth and stood before the children of men with the hoarded love of eternity. And this is the treasure that through our connection with him we are to receive, to reveal, and to impart. Our institutions will give character to the work of God just according to the consecrated devotion of the workers by revealing the power of the grace of Christ to transform the life. We are to be distinguished from the world because God has placed his seal upon us, because he manifests in us his own character of love. Our Redeemer covers us with his righteousness. In choosing men and women for his service, God does not ask whether they possess learning or eloquence or worldly wealth. He asks, "Do they walk in such humility that I can teach them my way? Can I put my words into their lips? Will they represent me?" God can use every person, just in proportion as he can put his spirit into the soul temple. The work that he will accept is the work that reflects his image. His followers are to bear, as their credentials to the world, the ineffaceable characteristics of his immortal principles. It is the glory of the gospel that it is founded upon the principle of restoring in the fallen race the divine image by a constant manifestation of beneficence. God will honor that principle wherever manifest. Those who follow Christ's example of self-denial for the truth's sake make a great impression on the world. Their example is convincing and contagious. Men see that there is among God's professed people that faith which works by love and purifies the soul from selfishness. In the lives of those who obey God's commandments, worldlings see convincing evidence that the law of God is a law of love to God and man. God's work is ever to be a sign of his benevolence. And just as that sign is manifest in the working of our institutions, it will win the confidence of the people and bring in resources for the advancement of his kingdom. The Lord will withdraw his blessing where selfish interests are indulged in any phase of the work. But he will put his people in possession of good throughout the whole world, if they will use it for the uplifting of humanity. The experience of apostolic days will come to us when we wholeheartedly accept God's principle of benevolence, consent of all things to obey the leadings of his Holy Spirit. Training schools for workers. Our institutions should be missionary agencies in the highest sense, and true missionary work always begins with those nearest. In every institution, there is missionary work to be done. From the manager to the humblest worker, all should feel a responsibility for the unconverted among their own number. They should put forth earnest effort to bring them to Christ. As the result of such effort, many will be won and will become faithful and true in service to God. As our publishing houses take upon themselves a burden for missionary fields, they will see the necessity of providing for a broader and more thorough education of workers. They will realize the value of their facilities for this work, and will see the need of qualifying the workers, not merely to build up the work within their own borders, but to give efficient help to institutions in new fields. God designs that our publishing houses shall be successful educating schools, both in business and in spiritual lines. Managers and workers are ever to keep in mind that God requires perfection in all things connected with his service. Let all who enter our institutions to receive instruction understand this. Let opportunity be given for all to acquire the greatest possible efficiency. Let them become acquainted with different lines of work so that, if called to other fields, they will have an all-round training and thus be qualified to bear varied responsibilities. Apprentices should be so trained that, after the necessary time spent in the institution, they can go forth prepared to take up intelligently the different lines of printing work, giving momentum to the cause of God by the best use of their energies, and capable of imparting to others the knowledge they have received. All the workers should be impressed with the fact that they are not only to be educated in business lines, but to become qualified to bear spiritual responsibilities. Let every worker be impressed with the importance of a personal connection with Christ, a personal experience of his power to save. Let the workers be educated as were the youth in the schools of the prophets. Let their minds be molded by God through his appointed agencies. All should receive a training in Bible lines, should be rooted and grounded in the principles of truth, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Let every effort be made to arouse and encourage the missionary spirit. Let the workers be impressed with a sense of the high privilege proffered them in this last work of salvation, to be used by God as His helping hand. Let each be taught to work for others by practical labor for souls just where he is. Let all learn to look to the Word of God for instruction in every line of missionary effort. Then, as the Word of the Lord is communicated to them, it will supply their minds with suggestions for working the fields in such a way as to bring to God the best returns from all parts of His vineyard. God's purpose fulfilled. Christ desires, by the fullness of His power, so to strengthen His people that through them the whole world shall be encircled with an atmosphere of grace. When His people shall make a wholehearted surrender of themselves to God, this purpose will be accomplished. The words of the Lord to those connected with His institutions are, "Be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord." Isaiah 52, verse 11. In all our institutions, let self-seeking give place to unselfish love and labor for souls nigh and afar off. Then the holy oil will be emptied from the two olive branches into the golden pipes, which will empty themselves into the vessels prepared to receive it. Then the lives of Christ's workers will indeed be an exposition of the truths of His Word. The love and fear of God, the sense of His goodness, His holiness, will circulate through every institution. An atmosphere of love and peace will pervade every department. Every word spoken, every work performed, will have an influence that corresponds to the influence of heaven. Christ will abide in humanity, and humanity will abide in Christ. In all the work will appear not the character of finite man, but the character of the infinite God. The divine influence imparted by holy angels will impress the minds brought in contact with the workers. From these workers, a fragrant influence will go forth. When called to enter new fields, workers thus trained will go forth as representatives of the Savior, fitted for usefulness in His service, and capable of imparting to others, by precept and example, a knowledge of the truth for this time. The goodly fabric of character wrought out through divine power will receive light and glory from heaven, and will stand before the world as a witness pointing to the throne of the living God. Then the work will move forward with solidity and redoubled strength. To the workers in every line will be imparted a new efficiency. The publications sent forth as God's messengers will bear the signet of the Eternal. Rays of light from the sanctuary above will attend the precious truths they bear. As never before, they will have power to awaken in souls a conviction of sin, to create a hungering and thirsting after righteousness, to beget a lively solicitude for the things that will never pass away. Men will learn of the reconciliation for iniquity and of the everlasting righteousness which the Messiah has brought in through His sacrifice. Many will be brought to share the glorious liberty of the sons of God and will stand with God's people to welcome the soon coming, in power and glory, of our Lord and Savior.